going to let yourself be in, because the word is going to go out no matter what. If you're sitting there today, I just see a lot of people and they're saying, you know, this person just continually disappoints me. I'm discouraged by this situation. It just seems like it's always like this. If that's you in here this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up, because see, God sees exactly where you're at. The devil would like to come in and cause irritation and discouragement, aggravation. And see, the word, it's going to come forth. And the devil works on the heart of men before the word ever comes out. He's already worked on you this morning. He's already tried to steal the word before it ever came out. And you have to decide whether or not your heart is going to be good ground where the word can fall out and hit it and be planted, or if you're going to sit there in that mood. That's totally up to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we stop looking around, Father. And Lord, I thank you that we look at you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that we don't see the glass half empty, but Father, we see it half full. Lord, I thank you that it's overflowing. Lord, I thank you that Psalm 23, it operates in our life. God, I thank you that you have anointed us with oil. God, our cup overflows in the name of Jesus. Father, you've never been late. God, you've never not showed up on time. Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, right now I speak to discouragement in this place, and I bind it up and I tell it to go away in the name of Jesus. I speak to anxiety and depression. I tell it to flee right now. Lord, I loose your peace. God, I thank you right now for every attention span. Lord, I thank you that you're gathering them up right now. And Lord, I thank you that that word, God, that it comes out. And then it falls on that good ground. Lord, I ask that you would teach us to stop looking at the faults of others. I speak that out right now. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, you know that it can become an idol when we start looking around and think about how everybody's failed us, how they've fallen short. God, you have not done that, not even one time. Father, I ask that you turn our perspective this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm excited about his word. I'm excited to be here in his house. I love each and every single one of you. Thank you for allowing me to not just be a normal pastor. Those people are boring. Amen. Amen. I got no desire to be like that. I'm going to keep it real. If it offends you, you got 55 more minutes of it. I'll never forget one time my dad was sitting where Jeff was sitting, and this is when we didn't have just one big row, and this guy came in here, and I walked up and I introduced myself. I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Kelly." And he looked at my dad. I walked off and he said, "So that's the pastor." And Dad said, "Oh yeah, you know, we turned the ministry over to our daughter." And he just got up and walked out. And I'm gonna tell you something. If you're somebody that don't believe in women preachers, you get to reading your Bible. Amen. I thank God that he uses women. I thank God that each and every single one of you came out of a woman. And if they were good enough to birth you, they're good enough to minister to you. Amen? That's not even a part of the message. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke. And there's an anointing for the children of God that can only be on your life through his word. And you know, you get to know God through his word. You get to know his character and his personality and his promises through his word. There's no other main way to know him but other than his word. It defines him perfectly, and it shows us who he is, and it shows us what he thinks of us. And so the word is something that you should constantly be applying and putting into your life. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to talk to you this morning about communicating to God, about hearing from the Lord. You know, a lot of believers, they're untaught. Church is not a place where you sit there and whether or not you had a goosebump was whether or not the pastor did a good job. I am not responsible for your goosebumps. Amen. I'm responsible for teaching you the Word of God, for not sugarcoating it, for putting it out there. And if you want to come and eat it, then you can come and eat it. But that is my job. But Pastor Kelly is not responsible for the goosebump. If you want to feel God, you can feel Him anywhere you're at. But it's going to take your desire and your working on and getting in a regular practice of being in the presence of God and meditating and praying on His Word. So it is a part of my job to teach you and to point out Scripture that backs up every point that I make on when I preach. This morning I want to talk to you about knowing how to pray, how to hear from God. A lot of people, they are unchurched, they are untaught, they don't know, how do I hear from the Lord? We're going to talk about several things this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Now, I want to point out that the Word of God is very specific. I've learned to pay attention to commas, to periods, to explanation points, exclamation. I never say that right. But you get my point. The Bible is very particular on the adjectives that it uses in its Scripture. And when the Word tells us that the boy Samuel ministered under Eli, what that tells us is that we were not talking about a teenager. We were not talking about a full-grown man. We were talking about a child. We were talking about a boy. And if we weren't talking about a boy, the Bible would have not specified. Amen. That brings me to my next point. We won't turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. You will either do the word, and you will train up your child, and when they are older, they won't depart, or you're going to have regret. And if you are someone and your child raising is over and you did not do this part of the word, that does not mean that God cannot turn some things around, but you are still a parent and God is still expecting you to do certain things. And one of the things you can do for your grown children is more than you discourage them with what you don't agree with that they're doing, you can talk about those things with the Lord at any time. Ain't nobody can change your child the way that God can change them. Ain't nobody can pick the perfect person to go and to minister to them besides the Lord. And so your parenting days, they're never quite over. But if you're still raising children, I encourage you to train them up. Training is very unpleasant because it's work. And a lot of people are lazy and they don't like to work. They don't like to work a job. They don't like to work at their family. They don't like to work doing the child raising. I get it. There's times where children are exhausting. Amen? Now, I'm not coming here to just act like it's not. How many of you have ever raised a kid? Or you are raising one. Did it exhaust you at times? Okay. So this was a boy. Train up your children. Does God use children? Yes, He does. You see so many examples in His Word about God taking children and starting their ministry as a child. Starting a ministry as they were children. I looked at my life a few months ago. I was telling my husband about an instance, and I never realized what my life in entirety really was until I said this out loud. But, you know, on my 7th birthday, I woke up that morning, and I was the first one awake. And I felt and I heard the presence and the voice of God for the very first time. And something moved me to a point where I heard something inside of me, deep inside of my soul, say, Kelly, you need to be saved and you need to get down on your knees and you need to begin to call on a God that your parents have talked to you about. And we had the ugliest brown sectional couch that you could ever have, but it was comfortable. And I remember as a 7-year-old little girl, I hit my knees and I just began to talk to God. I don't care how old you are or how young you are in the place, talk to God. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. And as I began to hear my father walk down the hallway, and he said, "Kelly, what are you doing?" And I said, "Daddy, I am praying about my sin." See, don't tell me God can't talk to kids, because God can use kids way easier than he can use adults. Way easier. And he said, "Kelly, do you feel something inside of you knocking?" And I said, "I do." And he said, "Would you like to be saved?" And he led me in the sinner's prayer. And my whole life, God began to shape a pastor. And I never quite understood all of the things until really just a few years ago. And I was telling my husband, I said, "You know, one of the things that I always wanted to do is I always wanted to learn how to play the piano." Now, I cannot sing very good. I mean, I can sing, but it just doesn't sound good. But I have always wished that I could sing and that I was musically inclined and could play the piano. To the point in 2020, I took lessons for 2 years and I still didn't do any good at it. But I said, "You know, every Thursday, my dad would take me and Casey and he would drop Casey off for piano lessons, and then he would take me to the nursing home where my mother was the director of nurses, and I would just kind of be around, and I would talk to all the elderly people. I had the halls that I would go down, and I would minister to them, and I didn't even know what I was doing. I'd go in there, and I'd make them laugh. I'd tell them jokes. I'd pray for them. I'd do lots of things." And as I began to tell him this story, I literally said out of my mouth, I said, "You know, I always felt bad because I didn't get piano lessons and I felt like I should have." And I said, "But what I realize now that God was doing is that he was giving me pastoral lessons and I didn't even realize it." And so, does God use children? Yes, he does. And it's important that your children, that your grandchildren, that they're in church. And it's important that you understand when you are in church, you will never go to a perfect church. And a guarantee that I can give you is at some point, I personally will offend you. And let me tell you something. Church offense is the number one thing that the devil uses with believers to get you snatched up out of God's perfect will for your life. You can either be taught or you can be caught by the devil taking you from where you need to be. God will place you and he will plant you. And it says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And in verse 4, for the first time ever, then the Lord called Samuel. It didn't say the Lord called the boy. It says that the Lord called Samuel. Go with me for a moment. Put your finger in 1 Samuel. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verse 1. And it says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you and I have summoned you, or I have called you by name and you are mine. See, the Word of God, if it says that He knows the very number of hairs that are on your head, He certainly knows your name. And God has called His children. Not only has He called them, but He's called you by name. In a world where it's so indifferent and we feel like nobody really knows us, nobody really understands us, you need to get with God, because not only does He call you, speak to you, work with you, but He calls you by name. What does that mean about the character of God? It means that He is a personal God. He doesn't just say, "Hey, you." Pay attention to His Word, because His Word will show you who He is, and it'll show you what kind of a personality He has. God is a very personal, intimate God. He is not a far-off God. Your feelings will tell you that He's far from you. He's not. But the feelings, they are not facts. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. We're going to pick up at verse 4. And it says, "Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.'" So this young boy, he begins to hear someone calling him by name. And he gets up and he goes to the only man in the house, and he goes to Eli and he says, "Here I am, you called me." And he wakes Eli up. And Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." And so he went and he lay down. And again, the Lord called Samuel. Now listen, this was a young boy trying to learn who was calling him, but there's believers, they've been saved for a long time, and God calls you by name, He tells you things to do, and you still can't hear His voice because you're hearing your own voice and the voice of the world so much that you don't know who's who. Can you hear God's voice? Can you feel His presence? Can you be led with His direction? And you say, "How do I begin to hear and to know the Lord and hear His voice?" Well, first of all, I'm going to keep this real, okay? Because there's no other way for me to minister effectively unless I do that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. There has to be points in your day where you have intentionally, and we're getting bad about not doing things intentionally when it comes to our salvation and our walk with the Lord. You have to intentionally make time where you have shut everything out and you have practiced getting into the presence of the Lord. You have prayed. You have made that time. How many of you at times you feel overstimulated? Because we have way too much noise going on all the time. I recommend that there be time in your day that you have made literal quiet time for God. Some of us, we're bebopping. When we're cleaning, we got to have the TV blaring just to have something in the background. We've accustomed ourselves to constantly have something going in the background. And I'm going to tell you, there's things and there's trials in your life where God's going to silence the background because He wants to talk to you.
Amen.
It would be better if you learned how to do that on your own. Lord, I'm going to quiet all the noise because I want to hear you. If you're in the car and you always got to have something going. Now, I'm not trying to meddle, but I am trying to tell you that a lot of the stress and anxiety is because you never do have one moment of silence throughout your day. Make that time. Here's this young boy, Samuel, and he hears the Lord. He didn't know who it was. He thought it was Eli because he heard it so clear. And Eli says, go lay down. And again, see, God loves you so much that God is not going to stop talking to you, but you may degress down to where you're not able to hear him very well. I want you to think about your life. Did you hear him better 5 years ago? How is your ability to hear from the Lord? Has it gotten better or has it gotten worse? Because if it's gotten worse, you got too much going on. You need to clear some things up and you need to get some quiet time with the Lord where you're meditating on him and you're allowing him to speak to you. And here's the young boy, and it says, again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he says, here I am, you called me. Now, when God calls you, I would say more often than not, before God is getting ready to use somebody in a great, great way, he is always looking for availability more than he is ability. I'm going to say that again. God is not looking for your ability. He'll give you the ability to do whatever he called you to do. But what he is looking for is he is looking for a people that are available. Available. Do you have availability to God? Are you available to carry out what he told you when he called you? A lot of us focus on the opposite. Well, I feel like God's called me to do this, but I'm not able to do that. You're not the one that qualifies you. I said, you're not the one that qualifies you. God is. And if we as the believers would stop trying to do God's job, we would have a lot more peace of mind. Because God has a very hard job. He puts up with us just to get it started. Amen? So we have the young boy. He's gotten up twice. He hears someone calling his name and he says, here I am, Eli, you called me. And finally, Eli begins to understand what's happening. And he says, my son Eli, I did not call, go back down and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord. We need to pray for the people that we love the most to hear God calling them to him. God will call them by name and he will draw them. And so instead of being frustrated at the people around you and your loved ones and the people that you care for the most, stop being aggravated and get to praying. Father, nobody can draw them but you. Nobody can draw them but you. Father, I thank you for the drawing. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And what I can tell you is that God is faithful. God is faithful. Just like many, many years ago on my 7th birthday, I hit my knees. I had never heard the voice of God, but I'm telling you, I heard it that day for the very first time. And I have given him my life. I gave it to him at the age of 7. I give it to him every day. I didn't just sit there and think that's a 7-year-old decision. No, I choose to be saved every single day. I choose to give it over to him every single day. I don't believe that when I was seven that was all I had to do. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And then after the third time, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. He realized that the Lord was calling that boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Your servant is listening. Now go with me to John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. There are divine moments, I believe, in every human's life where the Lord calls them and draws them. And in John chapter 6 and verse 44, it says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." Amen. The devil would love to get you aggravated. He loves aggravation, because when we get aggravated, the aggravation floods our mind, and it's got us right there. Now go to John chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 32. Just a few chapters over, John chapter 12 and verse 32. And he says here, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." There's a drawing that goes on. Nobody can come to the Father unless the Father draw him. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to pick up at verse 9. And it says, "So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" There is a difference between listening and hearing. I'm going to give you an example of that. Frank wakes up way earlier than me. And Paul, almost every day, he'll get on his phone while he's still in the bed, and I am coming out of a coma, and he starts reading me the weather. He does it many times, and he's up here on his head, shaking his head no, but he does many times. And then when I'm awake and ready for the weather, I'll say, "What do you think I should wear today? Is it going to rain, or is it going to do this? Is it going to do that?" And he'll say, "Well, I told you the weather already." Well, guess what? I wasn't ready to receive the weather report in that moment. There is a difference between listening and hearing. I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, I don't know if it's a pastor thing, a mom thing, or a woman thing, or a humanity thing. I'm not sure. But the older I get, I've gotten very good at zoning everything out to where I'm in my own little world, and I like it there. The problem is when we do that and we miss the instruction or the calling of God. So we can imitate this. And Eli said, "When you hear that again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Not, "I hear you, God. I'm aware you called me by name." No, "Lord, speak, because I am listening." because I'm listening. Sometimes the only thing that God ever hears from us is our wish list. And we never make room for Him to speak back to us. A lot of prayers look something like this. Lord, please help me to get a new house. I want the car. God, fix the flat tire. Lord, do this and Lord, do that and blah, blah, blah. I like what McDonald's does. And not that I go there very often, but they've never failed to do that any time I have gone. As they say this, if you're in the drive-thru, if you go up to them, how can I serve you today? And we can put ourselves in the position of God and empathize with Him and say, what if the only time somebody ever spoke to you is when they wanted something from you? And you never got to speak back. How many of you have someone in your life and the only time you ever hear from them is when they need or want something? Well, then we know how that feels. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Many times when we are in the middle of something or when we get at the very forefront of a battle and we see that we're about to go through something, it's become apparent. We want to freeze up, paralyze up. We need to invite God into the communication with us and just say, Father, speak, because I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to listen. Speak because I'm listening. Do you have the ability to listen to God? Can you listen to Him? Can you hear His voice? Is God in your days? You're all here right now, and it's Sunday morning, and I commend you for coming. But how are you every other day? Is God anywhere in your days? Is He anywhere in your week? Is He anywhere in your time? Does Netflix get more time than God does? Does Facebook get more time than God does? What gets your time? People are so hateful when it comes to the truth. You can't hardly be behind a pulpit and say truth because people don't want to hear it. I think you're people that want to be free because truth is the only thing that can set you free, and you all come back every week.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there. So here's the Lord. He's called this boy. Now for the fourth time, and it says, the Lord came, and He stood there, calling as the other times. God knows you by name. He calls you by name. And the thing that I love about the Lord the most is He meets you right where you are. Right where you are. That's a very self-assuring thing. If you're in the middle of disaster, God Himself that created everything, He meets you right in the middle of disaster, even if it's the disaster you chose and you picked. That's how good that He is. That same God deserves you, all of you. You in your entirety. He deserves your life. He deserves your affection. He deserves your obedience. It's funny how God will speak to us and He'll tell us to do something and we disobey Him. And the very act of disobedience is the very thing that makes us miserable. But we keep the disobedience going on thinking we're going to get a different result. When He speaks to you, He's telling you your very best move. Do you want plan A or plan Z? Where do you want to go in your life? And it's funny until we're 55, 56, 60, 70 years old and we're still coming around to the same tests because we won't behave and obey. And I'm going to tell you, young people, you do not have to go out and sow wild oats. And if you're telling your kids, well, everybody's got to live and you've got to find your own way, that's stupidity talking and you need to stop it. Because you're speaking an approval over your children that God didn't approve. If God said it's okay for everybody to sow their wild oats, well, he would have written that, thou shalt sow your wild oats. And we'd all be like, well, great, we did. Now, I've sowed a few, and they were my biggest regrets. Some of these sowings will take years from you. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll make you pay more than you wanted to pay, and it'll make you stay longer than what you wanted to stay. The Lord said to Samuel, actually, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Where did Samuel get those words? He got them from Eli. He literally said the same thing that when he went to Eli and he said, did you call me? And Eli said no. And it took four times and Eli finally realized that the boy, God was calling him. Eli told him what to say and what to do. And here's the Lord, and he calls him again for the fourth time. And the boy says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel was quoting exactly what his mentor and what the person over him told him to say. How important is it that you speak the right things to people that you're over and the people that God has put you in their life? We can't afford to give people goofy advice because a lot of times their whole life depends on it. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke about his family. Now, Eli was Samuel's person over him, was his mentor, was the priest. And the problem with Eli is that he had some wicked sons that he did not deal with. And because of that, God made Eli a promise, your whole lineage, nobody's going to grow old in your family because of the wickedness that's gone on. And here's Eli. Now you put yourself in Eli's spot. He loves Samuel. Samuel loves him. Now the Lord has called Samuel and begins to tell Samuel, the boy, about all of the things that he's going to carry out about Eli. That would make your life a little uncomfortable. Tell somebody that you really love that God's fixing to deal with you and here's what he's going to do. We're going to learn something here. I spoke about his family from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. God made a promise to Eli from beginning to end. I'm going to deal with you because of the sins that you knew about in your family and you did not correct them. We live in an I'm okay, you're okay generation, and that ain't cutting it for God. That won't pass. That won't go through the pearly gates of heaven. It won't slip through. And the Lord begins to tell him, and he says, I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Can you love God and still fail God at times? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you are in a place in your life where you know of a specific area in your life that God has said is sin, and you are doing that and allowing that over and over, and you fail to get it right, there is a consequence. There is a consequence. How many of the people in here today, you've got something going on. You know it's wrong, but you keep doing it anyways. Is this a message of fear? No, this is a message of get it straightened out. And don't bank on tomorrow. The grave is full of people that thought they had tomorrow and they didn't. The Word of God says, be holy as I am holy. We're looking at the world to make us happy, and God is looking to make us holy. Those are so opposite. He failed to restrain his sons. And verse 14, therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. In earlier chapters, God and Eli spoke. And he told Eli what was going on. And the word says, Eli failed to make that right. And because of that, there was a family consequence from then on out. See, sometimes your listening and to God requires you to act on what he told you to do. Sometimes your listening to God is choosing not to act. See, sometimes God wants you to do nothing. When people are being wicked to you, when they're doing things that are specifically meant to harm you, to hurt you, sometimes he's saying, don't you do one thing. Don't you lift one finger. Don't you type one word. Don't you do that. I have no doubt that I'm looking at people that want God's absolute best. And if you really want that, you will give him your best. What is your best? Your obedience. Your obedience. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. See, there was a close relationship there. Eli loved Samuel like that was his own child, and he calls him son. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, and be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you. You know, sometimes people put us in awkward positions. I've been in a few of those myself as a pastor. You'll see somebody totally doing something. They know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. I usually keep my mouth shut unless you hold a position in the church. Let me just tell you, if you hold any position in the church and I find out that you're out there living it up and being a drunk and doing things that you shouldn't be doing, I'm going to come to you. I'll probably come knocking on your door and I'm going to give you a choice whether to stop it or step down. And I've done it before and I would do it again. Eli wanted to know what was said. I have people come to me. You know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But then in the end, there's death. May not be a physical death. Maybe the death of a relationship. Maybe the death to your finances. Maybe the death to your health. Maybe the death to your marriage. Maybe the death of something very important to you. But make no mistake, your sin will find you out and it will cost you. And I have people, you know, they'll go out, they'll sow their wild oats, they'll do that thing that they knew was wrong, and then all hell will break loose in their life. And then they want to come and they want to ask Pastor, well, why is everything wrong in my life? Well, guess what? If you ever come and you ask me why something has happened and I can visibly see something and God opens that door, I will tell you. Because if you got a pastor that loves you and they love you enough to tick you off and tell you exactly where you went wrong, but I will tell you this, before you come to me, go to God. He'll tell you better than me. He'll tell you the moment. So here's little sweet Samuel, this boy, he's in an awkward position. Sometimes the Lord will put you in those awkward positions as well. Sometimes you'll receive difficult words from the Lord regarding others, regarding other people. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If God reveals things to you, there will be a moment, a divine appointment, where that person will be at the end of themselves and they'll come up and they'll need you. They'll need that wisdom from God that you have. And what you can't afford to do if you really love that person is you can't afford to just say, well, little darling, you messed up and blah, blah, blah. No, at that point, it's time to just tell it like it is. It's time to just tell it like it is. I remember a moment many, many, many years ago. Brenda, babe, you're family to me, so I know you're not going to get offended. And if you do, tell me later after church. I'll never talk about you again from the pulpit. But do you remember that time at the Subiaco Park with Bro A? Now, I'm not going to go into detail because I don't believe in embarrassing people like that. But I'm going to tell you something. This is when I first started working for the church. And I worked for the church before I ever became a pastor for the church. And my dad is very perceptive to a point where it'll spook you out. And he's always been that way, very prophetic. And somehow or another, we ended up picking up good old Brenda Babe. And we went to the Subiaco Park. And I'll never forget it. Because I was so embarrassed at just how direct that he was. And I literally wanted to crawl under the table. Because I was like, oh my God. But you know what? He was being the pastor that he should have been. Did that turn a point in your life? Come up here, because see, I can't preach this as well. Who's got my microphones in the place? Poor Brenda. No, don't go into any detail. But Here's what I'm preaching about right here in this moment. See, sometimes God's got difficult words to give to people. God needs somebody to act in obedience. And we have a society where we're just, we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. Now look here. Before you open your big mouth, you better darn well know that was the Lord, because you can also really screw somebody up. But tell us about that day.
I was doing some things I probably shouldn't have been doing. And he was always willing to call me out on that, which I've never been offended, but what he said was spot on. And from that moment, something pricked inside of me to where I was like, this is wrong. I can't continue like this. But because of that, I mean, because of his harsh words, that situation came to an end. Everything turned around. You know, I would have never had Michael if I had continued living the way that I was living. And it was horrifying, but it was absolutely what I was doing. So,
that's right. Thank you. See, God ain't going to always tell you something that's easy to hear. Put yourself in Samuel's place. You love Eli. That's like a dad to you. And here the Lord done told you something about somebody that you admire that's family to you. You either love them enough to keep it real, or you're going to contribute to their messed up life. I'm going to say that again, because there's too many believers and you're living on the fence, and God's called you off the fence. And see, you're going to either be there for him and be his hands and feet and his mouth, or you're going to contribute to the problem in the world society. Amen. You either love the people enough that God will speak to you about to stand up for what's right, or you're going to contribute to their misery. And here's what I can tell you. I left that day mad as heck at him, and I thought, that is so crazy. There is no way poor little sweet Brenda babe is doing that. And the very next day, we had meeting number two, and we walked in to the trailer park where you was, and you broke, and you said everything that you said. I did it. See, you're going to have the words of life and healing for people, the words that can help them stop what they're doing and turn their life around, or you will literally contribute to putting them in the lake of fire. What do you want to do with the people that you love the most? Do you love them enough to snatch them out of hell with what you say? Or are you going to act like what they're doing is all right? And I'm going to also ask you to love yourself enough to where you'll keep it real with yourself. If yourself is doing some things and you know they ain't right, I'm going to ask you to stop telling yourself that God will understand, because what he'll understand is that he's going to have to judge you on judgment day. Now, I know that this message is harsh. It's harsh because we don't like to hear the truth. But I'm going to preach it. Eli did something so amazing in this place. What an awesome man of God. In verse 18, he says, so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Here's the Lord. Here's Eli. Eli didn't get the greatest news from what God had said to Samuel. Eli loved God enough to say, God is still God. Let him do what he sees is good. Sometimes we love the wrong so much that we get mad about God because he ain't coming over and going to see it our way. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will not change his mind. The Lord... Now, I'm going to go into, I love that Eli said that, because Eli loved God. And in verse 19, you know, Eli trusted God's sovereignty. Eli trusted God's ability to judge. Eli yielded to what God had planned for his life. Can you say to God, Father, correct me. Correct me. There's been times I've told God, Lord, I don't know what you're going to have to do to me to make me right, but please do it. I'm miserable being wrong. Verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Don't tell me God don't love your kids and that you don't have a responsibility, because see, God wants to be with those kids, their whole youth. They're growing up. He wants to be with them. He wants to have that time with them. God wants to appear to them. He wants to call them by name at a young age, so they get used to hearing his voice by the time they're 20. And they know that the promises of God are yes and amen, and that they're for them. And young person, keep it pure. Can I be some realness here? If you're a young person and you're in my service and you're having sex and you're not married, you need to stop. I'm going to show you why. If you in here were, and you're an adult and you had to deal with teenage pregnancy at some capacity, I'm going to ask you to stand. See, this is a church, we're going to keep this real. We're going to keep it so real, now you got the goosebumps. But I love you this much to tell you right now. How many of you standing would say, I wish that I wouldn't have had to go through teen pregnancy. It was hard. Amen. Amen. See, God loves you in here, young person. He doesn't want you to have a difficult life. Are children a blessing? Yes, they are. But when you're a child yourself, it's hard. Amen. Now, this ain't about shaming nobody, because you know what? God has been good to everybody standing. But you know what? We owe it to our youth to say, stop it. Amen. To say, stop. Does anybody disagree with me?
No.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Ben Tony.
We've been all over the maps today. We done talked about teen pregnancy, listening to God, all of the things. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to roll up in here, you're going to hear it. Truth is the only thing that I know that will set you free. Here's the promise of God right here. The Lord said, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Even as a boy, he was with him when he grew up. God did not let not even one word from Samuel's mouth fall to the ground. That's how much of a blessing that you can have on your life. God also says, choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or a curse? Blessing is going to cost you. Blessing will cost you. When God's with you, there's a surrender. There's a here I am, Lord. There's a I'm listening, Lord. Notice that the Word of God says that he didn't let not one of his words fall to the ground. And I'm going to tell you why not one word fell to the ground. Because when God calls you, he will put his words in your mouth. And when you are speaking the words of God, of course, the words of God will not fall to the ground. You're going to either have God's words in your mouth. He'll put them in there, just like he did with Jeremiah when he came down and he touched his mouth and he said, today I put my words in your mouth. See, when God calls you, he agrees to put the words in your mouth. If you will choose to say what God would have you to say, whether it's difficult to tell somebody, whether whatever, he'll not let not even one word fall to the ground. But you got to know him enough to know what he's saying. You got to be able to hear him and what he's saying. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized. There was a recognition on this boy's life that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Verse 21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. God revealed himself to Samuel through his word. How do you get to know God? Through his word. How do you learn how to hear him? When He tells you to do something, you obey Him. Every time you hear Him and you obey Him, you will hear Him better next time. Y'all stand to your feet. I love everybody in the place. God loves you more. Daddy, wherever I've put the microphone. I'm 41, you know. I just got older. Speak that blessing over us.
Can I just speak a word? I'm just going to read the word, and that's going to be it. Whether you were standing or sitting, I've only got one person pregnant. It's been your mom. But I've been so close to people, it felt like it was my kids. Hope and a blessing out of the book of Jude. You receive this right now. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Y'all go in peace. Amen. Amen.